Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 17th of the hour. Thanks for staying with me. It's a little Aerosmith bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Dan Pella. He's an IRS expert. He's written all the books on that topic, including How to Win Your Next Audit. That's one of 15 books he sold. And Dan, thanks again for being here. That was a great tour you gave us, report you gave us in the previous segment on the IRS and some of the issues that they have. Some of them are self-imposed, some of them are budget-imposed. But how does that impact the audit situation?
Well, it impacts it tremendously.
Remind the audience what you said. Give us that 2% reference you gave a minute ago.
Yeah, the 2% reference is this. 98% of every federal dollar that flows into the coffers flows in from people who are writing checks to the IRS. In other words, what the IRS would call voluntary compliance. That is to say, they're doing what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it without the IRS breaking.
You know, most organizations, if they were 98% accurate and performing, they wouldn't spend the money to go after the other 2%. They'd use that to do something else.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the rest of the 2% is enforcement revenue that comes from wage levies and bank levies and so on. Here's where the disconnect is, where the imbalance is. About 65 or 70% of the IRS's budget is pointed at enforcement, audits and collections.
Say that number again.
About 65% of 70% of the IRS's budget is pointed at enforcement, and that's audits and collection actions. And we're talking about wage levies, bank levies, tax levies.
So they're spending two-thirds of their assets on 2% of their potential.
That's exactly right.
Even the dumbest manager in the marketplace would know better to do that.
Well, you know what, Jim? They're doing it to send a message. This is what the difference is between the
government. So they're calling this. So this is like some kind of pressure they're putting.
It's more or less a terrorist tactic.
It's a Gestapo kind of thing.
They're keeping people terrified of the IRS. They're keeping people afraid. They want people to turn their pockets out. They don't want people to stand up to the IRS at any level. The audits are a perfect example. The IRS's own statistics indicate that their audit results are wrong between 60 to 90% of the
time.
And yet precious few people ever challenge audit results because they're afraid.
Right.
First of all, they don't know how to do it. And secondly, even if they thought they could do it, they're afraid to because they think there's going to be repercussions that'll make matters worse for them.
What are some things that we can do to avoid an audit?
Well, first thing you need to understand, Jim, is in any audit situation, when the IRS pulls a tax return, it's not because you necessarily made a mistake. They're looking at tax returns based on a statistical analysis of the items, the claims that you make in your return, and if
right.
any one item is out of whack with this.
And computers are doing this now.
The algorithms are doing this now. You just need to understand, Jim, that as long as you can prove that your tax return is correct, you don't have to worry about a change to your return. But now, in terms of avoiding audits, there's a strategy I talk about in my book, How to Win Your Tax Audit, that I refer to as the audit proofing strategy, and it revolves around Form 8275. This is one of the tax forms the IRS doesn't tell you about. Form 8275 is called a disclosure statement, and that allows you to provide information with the return that will answer questions in the return. And that way, you're providing the information with your tax return when you file it, and that avoids a face-to-face examination later on.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. All right, what's something else we can do?
Well, let's talk to people that are going to owe money here coming the next week and a half here when April 5th, it's actually April 17th this year because of the Saturday. There's millions of people, about 3.5 million people every single year, Jim, that owe money to the IRS on April 15th that they can't pay.
Right.
And I want to talk to those folks for just a minute because I want to avoid problems for these people and get them into a situation where they don't get run over by the IRS. First of all, if you think you can pay the tax you owe within 6 months, you might not have the money now, but you can pay within 6 months, you can use Form 1127, Form 1127. It's called an application for an extension of time to pay your taxes. You can submit that form on or before the due date of the tax return, and that can get you up to 6 additional months to pay your taxes without penalties.
You can, not without interest, but without penalty.
Not without interest, but without penalties.
Right.
Now, here's an important caution for folks, and this is a mistake that millions of people make. When they don't have the money to pay the tax, Jim, they don't file the return on
Big mistake.
That is a mistake. All
that's,
right?
That's, they get ill. The IRS gets ill when you don't file the return.
Well, and not only that, they get vindictive because they add the failure to pay penalty as well.
Right.
And that failure to pay penalty is up to 25% of the tax.
And eventually, over not too long a time, your penalty interest and all the other stuff winds up being as much as the taxes you owe.
Well, as a matter of fact, the statistics indicate that the typical tax bill is increased by almost 300% with penalties and interest.
Wow.
So it's a huge problem. So don't fail to file a tax return. File the return. Use Form 1127 if you can pay within 6 months. If you can't pay within 6 months, Jim, then you go to Plan B, and Plan B is Form 9465. It's called an installment agreement request, and that'll set the wheels in motion to get you set up on an installment payment that you can pay the IRS over time, extended out past 6 months, and that's based on your ability to pay. Now, my book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, which has recently been written from cover to cover, from cover to cover, we'll take you step by step through all of these strategies for dealing with this stuff and avoiding levies and seizures.
Let me offer you a suggestion. If there's any way possible to keep from owing payments to the IRS, even if you have to pay more to borrow the money from a bank, do it. That's all I'm going to say about that. Dan, I need your website one more time, please.
Yeah, the website is taxhelponline.com. All one word, no spaces. Taxhelponline.com.
Check it out. Quick break, Tintail. More to come after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.